Well, gardens are growing, harvest season is coming up soon, and we all could use a few new ideas for more sustainable, healthy food. Well, here to talk edible landscaping and foraging is Susanna Schmarek, a freelance health and environmental writer who lives in Northfield. Welcome, Susanna.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I've been playing around on your website, healthygreensavvy.com, and it's really a fun website.
Well, thank you.
You can go all sorts of different places from your website. Yeah, lots to learn. Well, you're into gardening, foraging, and edible landscaping. Tell us, how did you get into this to begin with?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a complicated story of its own. When we moved to Northfield, there was a 100-year-old house that was about to be knocked down, and the only way to save it was to move it, and we wound up doing that. And so you have to clear a landscape in order to move a house in. So with nothing but dirt, I had a lot to learn and very, very fast. So just to hold the dirt down, we had nothing but grass, which is what most people have around their yards. And as I started learning more about gardening and realizing that I really wanted to be able to grow some delicious food on my property, I realized the grass had to go. And slowly over time, I started smothering it and instead planting fruit trees and berry bushes and all kinds of herbs and things that the family could eat. And as I did it partly just to please my palate, I also learned about the ecology behind what we do in our yards and got really invested in making a yard that was planet friendly rather than the opposite, which most lawns tend to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, you touched on the grass a little bit and you touch on it. You talk about it on your website as well. Why do we need to, why should we cut back on our grass, on our lawns?
So lawns turn out to be the number one irrigated crop in the U.S., and as crops go, they're not particularly useful. They are also a tremendous contributor of greenhouse gas pollution, especially through the fertilizers and herbicides that people use on them. Those turn out to be even more potent contributors to the climate problem than carbon dioxide. And then, of course, there's the gas that comes from the mowing. There are estimates that we use about 800 million gallons of gas every year and spill another 17 million gallons of gas.
Wow.
So the climate contribution of a lawn can be really enormous. And what is particularly exciting about turning over lawn to other kinds of uses is that a lot of us don't even use a lot of that grass. I've always kind of eyed parking strips as a particularly pointless place to water and mow and really do nothing else. It's one thing if you're using a lawn for your kids to run around on. It's another if it's just the thing you go mow and poison in order to get rid of dandelions and other weeds and things like that. So American lawns are a really great possibility for people to do something tangible and significant to help the climate. A lot of people feel they're kind of helpless, but your yard is actually a wonderful opportunity to do something really positive.
You know, I've never thought of that. And it's so true. We've got beautiful lawns.
Beautiful, very environmentally costly lawns that could be growing eco-positive plants instead. And there are a lot of things you can grow. Food is really fun to grow. But if you don't want to do that, there are other kinds of things you can put in, particularly the deep-rooted native plants that do so much good, moving carbon into the soil, filtering water. They're also xeriscape kinds of plants that don't require as much water in the first place, which is important as we all face water shortages in the coming years. And then, of course, trees are great for sequestering carbon and shading your house. You need less air conditioning in our increasingly hot summers, and providing food for pollinators. So there are a lot of good things you can do in your yard besides grow grass.
So back in 2002, when you saved that 100-year-old house, before that time, did you know any of this stuff? Is this something that came about because of this?
I've learned most of it along the way. I've always been an environmentalist, and I've always been a great lover of fresh fruits and vegetables. It's been a long process, but most of the education came afterwards, yes.
Wow, that's really neat. That's really neat. So if I want to start making smarter and more sustainable food and gardening choices, but I don't have a green thumb, what would you suggest for me?
So I tend to think the most important thing is to do something. So you start small. Mm-hmm. People say they don't have green thumbs, but one of the wonderful things about the native plants is that they are very good at standing up to neglect or ineptitude. That's what they're used to out in the prairie, for instance. So if you turn over a patch of that parking strip to coneflowers or prairie grasses or something else that can do some good, you don't have to worry too much about whether your thumb is green or brown. They'll kind of take care of themselves after that first year. It's also really easy to, a lot of people, it's also about time, and I feel very strongly that yards should take up as little time as possible because we're all so busy. You can just lay a piece of cardboard over your grass and plant right on top of it. It doesn't have to be a big deal. And you just start small. I did not smother my whole yard by myself at once. It's been, you know, many, many years getting rid of different grasses and putting in things that are more fun to grow.
Neat.
Yeah.
And we had talked in the introduction about edible landscaping. And you've got an article on your from your website on the 10 nutritious edible weeds.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us some example maybe that we would find in Cook County up here on the shore?
Of course, yeah. So edible landscaping can mean lots of different things. So you can purposely plant fruit trees, or you can actually make use of what's already growing in your yard. So there are a lot of things people don't realize are actually food. And absolutely every year I seem to come across a new weed. I look it up and discover that I could eat it if I felt like it. One of the most common and easy to identify weeds to start with would be dandelions. Sure. We all have those. They're everywhere. The flowers are edible. The roots are edible. The leaves are fabulous in salads and on pizzas. They taste a lot like arugula. And my yard has gotten so full of other things. I actually have to hunt pretty hard to get some dandelions in the spring, but it's exciting to find them because they're some of the first foods out there. You should absolutely leave some of the flowers for the pollinators because it's early food for them. We do a lot with our violets. The flowers there are also edible. You can make tea out of them. The leaves are good all season long. Even creeping Charlie has been eaten by some people. I'm not one of them. It has a very strong flavor.
Okay, I had creeping Charlie. I had a heck of a time getting rid of it.
Well, that's the thing about creeping Charlie. You can't really. It's kind of known for that, but you can teach it a lesson and eat it.
Sure.
So that would be another one that you could consider eating. But there are so many plants out there that turn out to be edible. I've only recently discovered that spruce trees make a really wonderful tea.
Oh, yeah.
So even in winter, you can be harvesting something from your yard, even if you're not growing food, because there's food out there.
Tell us about purslane.
Oh, purslane's my favorite, and I'm not getting enough of it somehow. My yard, I've actually tried to plant some of it because it's so great. Around the world, it's known as a nutritional superstar. It has the highest plant-based levels of omega-3s, and it's really good. I use it mainly for smoothies, but it's used in stir-fries a lot. It's also really hard to get rid of, which is great because it's so fabulous.
Okay.
I highly recommend it.
What does it taste like?
It has a little sort of lemony flavor to it, and it's a succulent. It's very juicy.
Okay, it's not bitter.
It's not bitter at all. No, that would be the creeping Charlie. and an overdone dandelion would be more bitter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now foraging. What would you be foraging for in the next few weeks here in the Arrowhead region?
Well, I think elderberries grow up where you are.
Okay.
So if you actually want to venture out and do some foraging, that's great, but you can also just forage in your own yard with some of these weeds and trees. But elderberries are a pretty exciting crop to find, and they are everywhere. And they're a fabulous medicinal remedy. If you can load up a bunch, you'll save yourself money on elderberry syrup, which is very expensive to buy in the stores.
And what's it good for?
Oh, elderberries have become a very common way to prevent and treat flu and also colds. The active compound in them interferes with virus replication. So if you dose yourself with it, there have been studies showing that the duration and severity of colds and flu are pretty significantly reduced.
Very interesting.
And they taste great.
Okay.
They're really, really delicious if you put in enough sweetener. It needs a fair amount of honey to make a good syrup, but there are a lot of things you can do with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Susanna, you have a book coming out next year.
Yes. Actually, on elderberries, and in my research into it, I've discovered elderflowers as well. And we've just wrapped up that season. But next year, if you can get out and find elderflowers, they are beautiful smelling, also edible, and also really good for treating colds. So you can make teas and bake with them, and all kinds of things. And it's really fun to forage those.
Neat.
Yeah, I imagine you also have some nuts growing.
Yes.
Up there that you could forage. You'd get a good guide, and you can probably find some native walnuts and hazelnuts, depending on how determined you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very, very informative. Let's talk about this website of yours. When did you start this website?
I had been a teacher for some time and decided I was going to switch over to strictly freelance writing, and someone said, you know, you're always talking about these healthy living and eco-conscious things. Why don't you start a blog? And I didn't actually know too much about what a blog was at that point, but I said, sure. So it's a website focusing on shortcuts that I've tried to make healthy and eco-conscious living easier, because I think a lot of people find it difficult, and it really doesn't have to be.
And start small.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you've got links to different informative places and products and reviews. Tell us how did you decide what all to put in here? Because you really have a lot.
Well, I've slowly gathered things over the years, but a lot of it has to do with trying to solve problems in my own household. So natural remedy research started on allergies because my husband had really severe seasonal allergies, trying to find the easiest ways to do your laundry without toxic chemicals. It's all about finding the things that everybody can do to make healthy living easier. So each time I discover something else, I tend to write about it. So when we got solar panels, I wrote about that. When my friend was doing an energy audit, I decided it was time to put something up about that because I'm a huge fan of energy savings. So some of it's just based on what we're facing in our own household or what I'm reading as I network with other bloggers.
Wonderful. And what is that website?
I'm sorry, my website?
Yeah.
Oh, you gave that in the intro. It's healthygreensavvy.com.
Wonderful. And you also have a sign up for weekly tips?
I do have a newsletter for anybody who's interested. They're every other week at most.
Okay.
You get a free ebook of your choosing if you do want to sign up for that.
It sounds like you are a very, very busy woman.
I spend a lot of time on my computer these days, but it's really fun to investigate all these things. I greatly enjoy it.
Fabulous. We've been speaking with Susanna Shmurak, edible landscaping and foraging expert. Susanna, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
I just hope that with a little nudge, they might just try something to make their yards more eco-friendly and their lives more sustainable, and I'd be happy to help them along in that journey.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you so much for the time.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.